Yeah, that's right. I love seeing other people in places of leadership stepping into new roles and into new things. So this isn't Kevin's first time preaching, but this is his first time preaching here. So I'm excited to have him share this morning. Kevin will fill in the details, but this sermon came about by a thought that he shared in a prayer time probably 6 weeks ago. And I said to him, I really think there's a message in that, and I'll let him tell the whole story. But Kevin and I have been talking since sometime last year about, Kevin, I want you to preach sometime. I want you to share a message with the congregation. So it's just a matter of time for the Lord to identify what it was. And he's done that clearly, so I'll let Kevin share more of that with you. So I would pray for you, and then you're off and running. Father, thank you for Kevin, for Glenda, for their family, and for the blessing they've been to so many here at Living Hope. They've been a faithful part of this body for years now. And it's exciting to see Kevin in this new role as an elder. And Lord, I just pray your blessing on him and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I know his desire this morning is to speak those things that you want spoken and to be able to bless and encourage us as he does so. So lead him, Holy Spirit, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Am I on? Okay, we're good. All right, welcome here this morning. I'm excited to share what God's put on my heart. I also wanted to say, just to start out with, today is March 1st, and I wanted to say that today is officially spring, but looking outside, it obviously is not spring yet. My family laughs at me because every year I go through the thing of taking the snowblower to the shed, and then it starts snowing again, and I have to bring it back, and you know, it's just that back and forth. And about this time of the year, I'm always so anxious for spring to come. And yesterday I took the snowblower to the shed, so hopefully we don't get enough snow today that I have to bring it back again. But anyway, God's good. God's got the weather under control. And thanks for coming this morning, and we'll pray for safety through the day. Like Ron shared, this whole thing of freedom that I want to talk about this morning, it was really cool the way God brought some real clarity and some confirmation in that. It was several weeks, well, actually, I think about 6 weeks ago, we were praying together as elders, and God just was speaking into my heart the whole connection between freedom, or between walking in the fear of the Lord and walking in freedom. And so I was just praying through that, and Ron sensed that there was a connection there that he wanted the body to hear about. I think it was maybe two Sundays later, Sarah Vanderplate, who was on the worship team up here, said something to almost the exact same effect, and that is that when we begin to experience the fear of the Lord and we begin to walk in the fear of the Lord, there's freedom. And, you know, there was such a confirmation that when God wants to speak something to the body, when God wants to speak something to us as individuals, he often does so with clarity and with confirmation. So I just wanted to say that this morning, that I'm just so blessed that God has spoken that truth. And I believe God wants to hear that truth this morning, to see the connection between the fear of the Lord and the freedom and the blessing that he wants us to walk in. We spent a lot of time over the past number of weeks, months, looking at the fear of the Lord. We've looked at fear of the Lord as the beginning of wisdom, leading to long life. Ron talked about taking sin seriously. He looked at the topic of the fear of dad and just a lot of those things. So again this morning, I just want to take us to the point where I think God wants us to be, and that is to experience freedom. We started a sermon series a number of months ago looking at freedom. We talked about the fear of the Lord today. I just feel God wants to put that connection between those two. I just invite you to turn in your Bibles. I want to put the actually, in your program, the verses in Luke 4, 18 through 19 is listed. And if you're using the guest Bible, it's page 727. These verses may or may not be real familiar with you, but Jesus spoke these words very early in his ministry. He's actually in his hometown of Nazareth, where he was born or where he grew up in. And again, it's very early in his ministry. Jesus wanted to make very clear what his purpose in coming to the earth was. Luke 4:18-19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So Jesus states very early in his ministry that his purpose was to bring freedom, to set people free from whatever was keeping them in bondage, to set the captives free. It talks about blindness. You know, there was people blind in his days. There was people who were physically in prison. But I think Jesus had in mind a bigger picture, and that was to, in the spirit realm, to give people sight, to release people from bondage, to release people from prison, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So I just want to use those verses to kind of spring into what I feel God put in my heart to share this morning. And I have up here that the fear of the Lord, and as I just began to ponder, a passion and desire for the things of the Lord, wanting to know his heart. And I think it also has to do with loving what God loves, hating what God hates. It's an intimate knowledge of the Lord. It's a matter of the heart. You know, I think Pastor Ron talked last week that sin in our lives is something that it's not really external. It's really something that begins inside. And this whole fear of the Lord is really a heart issue. It's where our heart and affection is. The fear of the Lord is mentioned over 150 times in the Bible. I just did a real quick search. And so if something is mentioned over 150 times in the Bible, God clearly wanted it to be repetitive and wanted us to get it. He wanted it to be something clear for us. Webster defines fear as profound reverence and awe, especially toward God. Feeling of respect and wonder for something very powerful. I mean, fear has other meanings too, obviously, but one of the definitions of fear, as Webster defines it, is just this sense of reverence and awe, especially toward God. Feeling respect and wonder. And then looking at freedom can be defined as a profound reverence and awe, especially toward God. Well, I'm sorry, that was the fear, but the freedom is liberation from slavery or restraint from the power of another. In other words, whatever holds us down, whatever we can't get free from, whatever we can't get out from under, that would be bondage, and freedom is being liberated from that. It's coming out from whatever holds us down. God in the Bible talks about wanting freedom through many segments of the Bible. First of all, in the Old Testament, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. God's plan was to bring them out of that, to bring freedom for them. Later, they became slaves again because they walked in sin and they forsook God, and they became slaves in Babylonia and other nations around them took them captives. So again, they were walking in captivity. And then Jesus said, as we looked here in the verses in Luke, that he said his ministry on earth was to set the captives free. So we can clearly see that God's heart, and even what Jesus said as he came into the earth in his earthly ministry, was to bring freedom, to bring liberation from slavery or restraint. So I just wanted to just say those things just in a broader framework and just saying what the fear of the Lord looks like. We've covered that. I'm not going to spend a lot more time on that. But then the freedom side and what liberation looks like. I want to get into just looking at some of the things in our personal lives of what some of the results are as we begin to walk in the fear of the Lord. And the first one that I have up in the screen, and I believe God just makes so clear, is that we begin to walk in freedom from sin. In Exodus 20, which I have up there on the screen, God revealed to the people that were, God says, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." And the context of which this happened was the people of Israel, Israelites were at the foot of Mount Sinai, and God was about ready to give the Ten Commandments. And you may or may not know all the Ten Commandments. You can look it up there in the book of Exodus, which is listed up there. God is going to give the Ten Commandments, and God knows that without a proper sense of awe, a proper sense of respect of Him, that the people never would be able to live out the commandments, and they would never be able to really walk in obedience to that. So we read, if you read more in that chapter, there's thunder, there's lightning, the mountain begins to shake, and smoke is coming from the top of the mountain. All this God is doing to build that sense of awe, that sense of holiness, that sense of who God is and what He wanted the people to understand. And it was out of that that the people began to see who God really was, and they could begin to walk in obedience to the Ten Commandments. Also, God was preparing the people to go in and take over the land of Canaan and all the land that God was promising to them. And God also knew that without a proper fear of Him and a sense of awe and respect and obedience to Him, that they would never be able to go in and conquer the land and begin to get what God was wanting for them. In other words, God had a plan for them to go in and conquer and take the promised land, but He also knew that without obedience and without walking in that obedience to His word, they would never be able to accomplish what He had in mind for them. So the Ten Commandments are given there, and you know, God is showing Himself as holy. God put parameters around the mountain so that they would not just rush in, because He wanted them to understand where those boundaries were and respect and trust Him enough to be obedient in that. One other set of verses in Genesis 4:7 says that if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Again, the concept is that the fear of God helps us to overcome sin. It helps us to walk from out of that bondage and that captivity. The Bible is full of examples of people who walked in the fear of God and overcame sin. In other words, they were so committed to God with their heart. They were so committed to walk in obedience that they followed God and they did what God was calling them to do. We have the story of Daniel. We have the story of Joseph. Both of those men had opportunities to turn their back on God, but they had such a fear of God that they did the hard thing. They made the hard choices because they had the fear of God in them. And we know from those examples, Daniel went on to have great insight to what God was showing him into the future because of that obedience. And also Joseph. God used Joseph in a mighty way because he had the fear of God in his heart. He turned away from opportunities to sin with Potiphar's wife because that opportunity was there, but he chose the fear of the Lord and walked in obedience to that. So again, the fear of God helps us walk in freedom from sin. And I just want to make a note that I felt God was saying to me. As Christians, we do sin. I'm here to say that I sin, you know, at times. We all do sin because we're human. God knows our heart, and the Bible says there's provision for sin. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I'm not saying we don't sin, but I think what God is saying here is that we don't walk in the bondage of sin, and we don't walk in that sin or in that area of your life that you just can't get out from under it. It's just always there, just day in and day out. You can't get out from under it. That's the type of freedom God wants to bring, I think, as the fear of God begins to live in us. We also see in Psalms 34:7 that there is physical and spiritual protection. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him. and he delivers them. He delivers us as we trust and fear in God. There's that protection. There's that sense of well-being in spite of what the circumstances are. I just want to say personally for me that, and actually for my wife and my children, we walked through back in 2008 and 2010. I have a mechanical heart valve, and I'm on blood thinner. It's not supposed to clot. My blood's not supposed to clot. 2008, it spun a clot. I had a heart attack. 2010, the exact same thing happened again. And the doctors are saying, we don't understand why. You're doing everything right. Your blood's, you know, where it's supposed to be. And they actually, the professionals, didn't understand why this was happening. I had a choice at that point. My family, my wife and I had a choice to make at that point. Were we going to walk in the fear of the Lord, which this verse right here said that the angel of the Lord encamps around about us, or are we going to give in to fear? Am I going to live my life in fear, saying, well, it could happen again. It could happen again. I'm not going to do this because it could happen again. No, I chose the fear of the Lord because God said that the angel of the Lord encamps around those. So we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in that captivity because we have these verses that say that when we trust and fear God, he is there to provide that safety for us. We also experience direction and counsel. Number three, if you're following in your program. And I'm going to have you look up these verses. Again, you can see the verses listed and also page number if you're following along in the guest Bible. Psalms 25, 12 through 14. All right, Psalms 25 says that, who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should go. They will spend their days in prosperity. Their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him, and he makes his covenant known to them. What an amazing promise that God gives here. In fact, there's a bunch of promises in here that God gives us as we fear him. And I put up there the compass, and everyone knows what a compass is for. In fact, today, not many people use a compass. We use GPSs, so we kind of transitioned from that type of image to a GPS. But the same purpose is that we have to know where we're headed. If we want to head north, we have a compass or a GPS that takes us north. If we want to head west, we use it to take us in that general direction. And the Bible here in Psalms is saying that we receive that type of direction as we fear the Lord. Is that freedom or is that not freedom? I mean, just to know that God is going to give us direction, God's going to confide in us. Some versions say that the secrets of God is given to those who fear him. In other words, God is coming into us in a personal way and saying, I'm going to share with you what's on my heart. I'm going to share with you my plans for you and people around you. And I'm going to lay those secrets with you, lay them out to you, and there's counsel in that. It's a moral compass. You know, I look at that, and it's a sense of moral compass. It gives us direction. It said he's going to instruct us in the ways that we should go. There's so many people today that just don't have direction in life, and there's people that want to make choices, and they're not sure if it's the right choice, and they may go ahead and make that choice, and it turns out to be the wrong choice. If there's ever a generation that needs direction and counsel from God, it's this generation. It's this generation that needs the counsel and the wisdom and the moral compass of God through the Bible, through the fear of the Lord. Number four is the blessing of God. And again, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 12, the verses that are listed there, and again, the pages or page numbers for the guest Bible. says in these verses, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good." God lists a whole lot of things there that he wants us to walk in obedience, with a heart that's fully committed to him. Again, the fear of the Lord begins in her heart. It's not up here in her head. A lot of people get the knowledge of the Bible in their head, but it's in the heart, because that's where the fear of the Lord begins to operate out of. We have to get it into our heart. We have to own it, and we have to just have a committedness there from the heart. God's blessing and very best for our lives flows out of the fear of the Lord. God's blessing, okay? I just want to say to you youth that I know you guys, as you look to the future, want God's best for your lives, and we all want the best for us. You know, whether it's career-wise, whether it's, you know, looking to get married someday, looking to know where you live and everything, God says his very best is for those who have a heart and soul that's committed to following God and walking in the fear of the Lord. That's the only way that we get God's best, the blessing of God. This was another verse that I just came across as I was just thinking about the fear of the Lord and some of the benefits of walking in the fear of the Lord. And this is in the New Testament. "Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers." So this is the early church in the book of Acts, and they had just gone through a lot of persecution, and you know, they were probably floundering because of that. And the Bible says that they were living in the fear of the Lord, and as a result of that, what does it say? It says the Holy Spirit encouraged them, and strengthened them, a time of peace, and it increased in numbers. I believe what God is saying here through these verses is the church had an effect on the community, had an effect on the culture. It said it grew in numbers. It didn't say that the church decreased in numbers. It didn't say that less people were being saved, but more people were being saved because the fear of God in that early church had an effect of drawing other people into the kingdom, okay? Our lives, as we begin to walk in the fear of the Lord, we will affect those around us, okay? This world desperately needs to see people who are walking in the fear of the Lord. God's purpose for the church, God's purpose for our lives is to see an increase. It's to see fruit being born out of that fear, walking in the fear of the Lord. The early church grew in numbers, and that wasn't just because they were doing something right. It wasn't just because they had, you know, Peter was such a great preacher or anything like that. No, it was the fear of the Lord that caused them to grow in numbers. Fruit is born in others, and others come to know Jesus Christ. There's people that God has around us that need to know the gospel, need to know Jesus Christ and the new life and the freedom that Jesus has through us. God is going to use us as we walk in the fear of the Lord. It's going to be a contagious thing. It's going to be a thing that has impacts around us, in our communities, schools, wherever it is. Okay? God wants to grow the numbers of people coming into the kingdom. It's up to us to walk in that. I just want to touch briefly on something that you may have heard. I guess it's a Bible term. Well, it is a Bible term, but the fear of man can sometimes be something that controls us, even in a non-spiritual way, because we fear what people are thinking. We fear what, you know, we should or shouldn't do based on what others' expectations are. And the verse that is listed there, Proverbs 29:25, says, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." Okay? We have to ask ourselves the question, are we trying to please man, which is the culture around us, which is what the world says is important? It's the yeah, what the world is saying is important is the fear of man, or are we trying to please God? Okay? It's really got to be one of those two things. Where are we looking for our approval, our affirmation? Where do we place our trust and confidence? Is it in our culture, ourselves, other people, other leaders, rather than God himself? Okay? God is where we need to place our trust and our confidence, so the fear of man will prove to be a snare. I came across just an image. I wanted to have some type of image to show what a snare is. I actually couldn't find anything that was really a snare, but I guess a snare or a trap, as I have up there, a snare is one of those things, I guess, that, you know, like a dog cat catcher will, you know, it's a long-handled stick and it has a noose around it. When you get it around, then you pull it and the animal's trapped. But I put a trap up there. Raccoon, I guess a bobcat. A trap, how do you get something in a trap? You bait it. That's right, you bait it. And the animal sees that bait and it looks pretty appealing, it looks pretty easy. Maybe it's, they're thinking it's free food, and they sneak in and boom, the door goes shut and they're caught. And so the Bible is saying that the fear of man is like that. And why is the fear of man like a trap or a snare? It's because of Satan's traps are often baited with appealing things, but it's not God's plan, and it's not what he has in mind. The fear of man drives us away from God. The fear of God draws us closer to God's heart. So again, the fear of man drives us away from God, and the fear of God draws us closer to God's heart. The Bible says that there's a way that seems right to man, but in the way, or in the end, it leads to death. Okay? And that's where the fear of man becomes a snare. But there's a way that that seems right based on the culture around us, based on what our humanistic thinking is, and so we do that without looking at what God wants and what God's word says and how we make a choice in that. Okay? And the Bible also talks about the wisdom of God is so much greater than the wisdom of man. In fact, it says that the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. Okay? So there again, the fear of man is never going to get us the freedom that we think we're going to get. So those animals that are caught in there are trapped because they went after something that was not the real deal. I want to look at just some consequences which I feel from Scripture, and there's so many consequences that I believe the Bible is clear about. In fact, when you go through the Bible, there's so many examples of here's what happens when you follow God in the fear of the Lord, and here's what happens when you don't walk in the fear of the Lord. It's just that there's so many consequences. It's the blessing, it's the curses, and it's the benefits, it's the traps. And I just want to pull out two that I felt God was showing me. And if you want to look up Proverbs chapter 1, is the first one I want to look at. All right, Proverbs 1, and if you're following in the guest Bible, page 450. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but they will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Okay? One of the things that I think is a very clear consequence of us not walking in the fear of the Lord is this thing that God is silent to our prayers. You know, we all have days when we pray and it just seems like our prayers go up and bounce off the ceiling and come back. You know, we have those type of days. But if consistently we're not able to pray and we don't feel like God is ever responding. I think we have to ask ourselves if we're walking in the fear of the Lord, because if we are, our prayers, God should be answering our prayers, and God, we should feel like there's a connection there. So I think God is often silent when we're walking in sin, when we're walking outside of the fear of the Lord and our heart is not seeking after God. God can often be silent. You know, that's not a place where I want to be. That's not the freedom that I want to walk in, that when I call to God, he will not answer. When I look for him, he's not going to be found. Okay? Oh, I want to go back to 2 Peter. And again, let's look up those verses together. Peter's actually talking here. If you read more of this chapter, Peter's talking about people who were sneaking into the church that really did not have the things of God at mind, but they were trying to basically tell the people that they could live however they wanted without following God, and basically that the commandments of God and the teachings of the scripture were not really valid for them, and they could basically do as they wanted. And Peter goes on to say in verse 17, "These men are springs without water and mist driven by a storm. Black as darkness is reserved for them, because for they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him." Remember in the very beginning, I said that one of the things that I think happens when we walk in the fear of the Lord is that we come out under the bondage of sin. In other words, we begin to walk in freedom over sin. And I think these verses, again, are just so clear that we will not habitually be bogged down by sin. That thing in your life or that struggle in your life that you just can't break free from, we will not experience freedom in that without the fear of the Lord. And I think that's one of the consequences that people say we can be free. People say you don't have to follow the Bible. You don't have to listen to what the Bible says. You don't have to follow what Jesus said. Those things are just, that was for that time period. That was for years ago. You know, we live in enlightenment time today, and we don't need to follow those things. You can be free, without having to follow all that stuff. And that's what they're saying here in the early church. And yet those same people who said you could be free without following that, they're bondage. They're living in bondage to sin. And Peter's saying, whatever, a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. Look at our lives today. I have to look at my life on a constant basis and saying, what has mastered me? What am I being controlled by? It may be a thought. It may be an attitude. It may be some action. It's different for every person. But whatever is mastering us, and if it's not something that God wants for us, we have to deal with that, and we have to look at that in a realistic way. Okay? So again, consequences of not walking in the fear of the Lord, it's all things that God never intended for us, okay? God never intended for us to be caught in things that we just can't break free from. God literally has so many things for us to do without being bogged down by the sin and the things that master us. Trust is such an essential in fearing God. Throughout the Bible, the fear of God and trust is so tied together. The fear of the Lord is used a lot of times, but so is the trust of God, and so is the hope, people that hope in God, okay? So I just come to a point here with the image of an eagle. What does an eagle stand for? freedom. Right. It's our national bird. The United States has chosen the bald eagle to be our national bird because it symbolizes freedom. It symbolizes what this country was built on. Okay? There's been all kinds of wars that the United States have been involved with over the years that had to deal with freedom. You know, the Civil War, the American Revolutionary War, it was all wars that were fought to free us from slavery, from the restraint of someone else. And so the end result was to be freedom. And that's why I just chose this image of the eagle. And I reference up there Isaiah 40:31, which says that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They're not going to be bogged down. They're not going to be grounded. They're not going to be contained to the ground. But God desires that as we walk in the fear of the Lord, that we can soar, that we can soar like an eagle does. And just a majestic bird. This past summer when I was up in with my son Brenton and just a couple other dads, who we spent 10 days up in the boundary waters of northern Minnesota, just a phenomenally beautiful area. And I think we must have saw maybe 30 of these majestic birds. We lost count, I think, after 30. But the boundary waters was full of the bald eagles. And every time I saw that, I thought, wow. You know, to be able to soar like an eagle and just be able to perch up there in these trees that were way above the rocks and everything. But that is what God is desiring for us. How do we get into that type of freedom? How do we begin to walk in that type of fear of the Lord that produces the freedom that God has for us? John 8:31-32 says, and this is Jesus speaking to the Jews who had believed him. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's a lot of things today that we look for to bring freedom, to bring enjoyment, to bring blessing, to bring happiness in our lives. And Jesus said that the true source of freedom is holding to my teaching. That's where the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is really all about this book right here. Okay? There's 66 books here, and God never gave us this book expecting us not to read it, expecting us to just maybe look at it one time and never get into it. I believe with all my heart that the Bible is God's truth, and it says that the truth will set us free. As you begin to know the truth, as you begin to digest the truth, you get it into your heart and get it inside of you, the truth is going to set you free. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so he's saying that his desires for us is written in the pages of Scripture, okay? That's one of the things. The Bible often teaches us another thing. As I think about the Bible, there's so many times in the Bible where it says we are to teach our children and their children, the next generation, to fear the Lord. I'm a dad. I have 3 children. I'm blessed to be a dad. And I want to tell you that if I don't pass on a fear of the Lord to my 3 children, I failed my purpose in life. Because my purpose in life at this stage of the game is for my 3 children to understand the fear of the Lord and to walk in that. Because I know when they begin to walk in the fear of the Lord, they will begin to bear fruit. And their lives will become free and everything we looked at this morning. So I just want to encourage you. I just feel led to encourage those of you, moms and dads and people, grandparents, to walk in that, to teach. For first of all, for you to walk in the fear of the Lord, to get into the Bible, to know the truth that will set us free, and to teach the next generation. I think that's so important because we have to be forward-looking. This thing today of what God has for us is just a piece of it, because there's a generation coming on that we need to be passing on that fear of the Lord. So I have listed there, will you commit to growing in the fear of the Lord and walking in freedom? Just some real practical things that I think I just want to leave with us as a challenge this morning. Again, I said, first and foremost, get into the Word, okay? get into the Bible, begin to know the truth. That's, I can't overstate that enough. God's Word is just full of truth. In fact, one of the challenges that I'd like to give you is the book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. Some months have 31 days, other months are short of that. If there's a book that has wisdom and practical truth in it, it's the book of Proverbs. Read a chapter a day. Read a chapter of Proverbs. Grow in the wisdom of God. Grow in the fear of the Lord as you do that. So, you know, get into the Word. Asking someone else to come alongside of you. I just wanted to say this morning that if you are here and you're a Christian 1 week, or if you're here and you're a Christian 40 years, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to God. What matters to God is that you begin where you're at, and you begin and choose to walk in the fear of the Lord and begin to walk in the wisdom of God that He has for us. I want to encourage you, if you're not sure on what the next steps are for you, talk to someone. Talk to Pastor Ron. Talk to one of the elders and say that I don't know what this journey looks like for me. I don't know what those practical steps are, but I want to join someone in it. Because I want to walk in the freedom that God has for me. So if you're here this morning and you're not sure what it looks like, talk to someone. There's people here that would love to join that journey with you and to walk alongside of you. Joshua 24:15 says, and this is Joshua talking to the people, and he makes a very bold declaration when he says, I mean, he first of all lists a whole bunch of choices. You know, I can walk away from God. I can choose to follow the gods around me. I can choose to follow my own wisdom and instinct. But Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In other words, as for me and my house, we will fear the Lord. As for me and my house, we will walk in freedom. Are you willing to make that declaration this morning? That is for you and your house, whoever that may be, in your personal life, those around you, the household that you live in, are you willing to commit to walking in the fear of the Lord and walking in the freedom that God has for us? One of the things that I think so many of us miss is the plans that God has for us. One of my favorite things that I like to tell people, and I got a sense of this when I was in college, and that is God has a plan and a destiny for each one of us. I believe with all my heart that God has a purpose and a plan for each one of you. I don't care where you are. I don't care where you are in your spiritual life and journey. God has a purpose and a plan and a destiny for you. And unless we get this thing right of walking in freedom and walking in the fear of the Lord, we will never realize that purpose and plan that God has for us. It's only through doing it the way God has laid out in Scripture that we can walk in that purpose and plan. And so I just want to encourage us this morning that if you want to realize all that God has for you, we need to walk according to His plan and the roadmap that He's laid out. I would love to see freedom testimonies, you know, that come out of, you know, in the next couple weeks as you begin to really pray. And I encourage you to go home this afternoon and say, God, what parts of this do I need to do? What part of this journey do I really need to begin to focus on? What are some of the next steps that you want for me? And first of all, ask the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is within us to help us. We're not on this journey alone. The Holy Spirit will help us, but the Holy Spirit needs a willing heart. Remember, it starts in our heart, and we have to say, God, with all my heart, I want to walk in freedom. I want to walk in the knowledge and the fear of you. I want to walk in obedience to you. I want to walk in the plans that you have for me. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And I think as the Holy Spirit begins to do that, I think there's going to be testimonies of what God is going to do in transforming lives. Okay? God is going to touch and transform some lives here this morning as the truth of the Scriptures that we looked at this morning. I believe that with all my heart. There's going to be situations where people a month from now are going to say, I'm different. I've walked in new freedom that I've never walked in before because I've chosen this pathway to freedom. Let's just pray together. God, I thank you first and foremost that your word is truth. The Bible says that as we know the truth will set us free. And Father, we declare that we believe your word to be true, and we believe that your ways are so much higher than man's ways, and I thank you that your wisdom is so much superior to our wisdom. The fear of man leads to death. It leads to a snare and a trap. So God, I pray first and foremost that we would have a holy and a righteous fear of you and awe of you, and that we would see you today in our personal lives the way you want us to see us. God, I pray that you would encourage each person this morning. God, it doesn't matter where we're at in our spiritual journey. And again, it doesn't matter if we've only accepted you and began a relationship with you last week, or if we walked with you for 40 years. It doesn't matter. But I believe that you want to start us on a journey of just walking in freedom. And God, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fall in each person here this morning, and that you will shine the spotlight of truth into the individual areas of our life, into the individual places in our hearts that we need to walk in that freedom. I ask for that in the name of Jesus, that there would be truth that would be revealed. And I pray that our lives be transformed. We will be different. We will be different because we are beginning to take those steps that you desire for us to walk in freedom and the blessings that you have for us. So God, I pray a blessing and anointing on each person here, that we will make a declaration in our own personal life, wherever we are, to begin that journey, to continue in that journey. Thank you, God, that you have plans and purposes for us, and that you have a plan, a destiny, and a purpose for each one of us. So, God, I declare that as we begin to walk in this, that that will be fully realized in each one here this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen.